Trinadapi Sunichena Tararivasa Hishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama Harinama Harinamai Vakivalam Kalau Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Sankirtana Prayaya Jantihi Sumedasa. In this age of Kali, which began with the disappearance of Krishna from this planet Earth 5,000 years ago, the recommended performance of religion is what we are doing here. Sankirtan, congregational hearing and chanting about the name, fame, form, pastimes, and teachings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known by millions of names, but the best name for God is the name Krishna, because it means all attractive. So what we are doing is the recommended process. I have been given a strict schedule by the hosts of the house, which I will enforce. I have been given a specific topic, which I will cover from different angles of vision throughout the program. First, I want to take you to the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have chanted the 12-syllable mantra, which is appropriate. And this particular sequence is at the dawn of creation. Not exactly the dawn, but it is when the Creator, Lord Brahma, is beginning his engineering of the universe. Because the real Creator is Krishna, God. And he gives Brahma, the engineer, the ingredients by which to construct the universe. So here is the very beginning of what Lord Brahma does when he begins engineering the universe. If you're ready to hear with rapt attention, notice the sign, then I want you to repeat after me, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
The sequence appears in the third canto, where the sage Maitreya is answering the questions of Vidura. Vidura is actually Yamaraj, but he has taken a break from punishing the conditioned souls, and he's on a vacation. And he has appeared in the Krishna Leela as the son of Vyasadeva, and he is the brother of Pandu and Dhritarashtra. And when he met Maitreya, it was at the end, after Krishna had left the planet. So you could say very, very beginning of Kali Yuga. So Vidura wanted to hear from Uddhava, Krishna's very close associate. But Uddhava, out of humility, said, no, better you hear from Maitreya. He is senior to me. So Uddhava deferred. Vidura approached Maitreya, and they began their discussions, which takes up two cantos. Third and fourth canto is simply the conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. Maitreya said, Lord Brahma first created the five nascent engagements. First one, everyone repeat, Moham. So Moham means that in the material world, we are forgetful of our real identity. Our real identity is mentioned by Krishna right at the beginning of his teachings in Bhagavad Gita. You are not your body. You are not your mind. You are spirit soul. First lesson of Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna. So that's the first. Moha means you forget your real identity. Instead, you think of yourself as the body. I'm man, I'm woman, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm this. And bodily conception. This is the first of the five nescient engagements. Number two, please repeat. Maha Moham. So you have Moham, now you have Maha Moham. In other words, even more. The next thing is the sense of false ownership or the tendency to want to own enjoyable things. So that's the second. You want to possess. You want to collect. You want to enjoy. And you have this conception. This is mine. Or in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is talking about the demon, what is that? How does the demon think? Krishna tells us. The demon thinks, so much is mine, and I will get more. Maybe you know people like this. We hear about them all the time in the news. They're not satisfied with 1 billion. They gotta have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They want more and more. Here is my enemy, and I have killed him. And my other enemy, I will get him tomorrow by my schemes. Mahamoham. Number three, please repeat. Tamisram. Anger after frustration. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, which is not surprising. Because actually Bhagavad Gita is a summary of all the Vedas. So if you simply read Bhagavad Gita, you'll know everything. Am I right, Kamlesh? And even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you know me as God, without doubting, you know everything. Just got to know that. How many people accept Krishna as God without doubting? Very good. Then I shouldn't be able... you already know all this stuff already. So anger after frustration is mentioned in chapter 3. And you can see the Creator has designed this material world. You are going to get angry after you're frustrated. And you must get frustrated because you're not in control. Things are not in your hand. We are trying for so many things, like it says, the ownership. But sometimes you can't get what you want by hook or by crook. And sometimes even when you get it, you're not happy. I have a friend that I know of. He was living in a very wonderful apartment. Nice scenic view with the mountains. But his wife, I want something better. So he spent so much money, bought her a nice mansion far away from the city, gated community with other rich, rich people. But what happened? One day he got a call from his wife screaming, there's somebody in the yard. Even though it's got gates and security, somebody had hopped over and he was trapped. He couldn't get in. But she was freaking out. Get me out of this house. So he had to sell the house, short sale, and back to apartment. Anger after frustration. So even when we get what we want, it's not enough. So that's the third. Then the next one. Please repeat. Anda tamisram. The sense of death. So, we learn from Bhagavad Gita that actually death is an illusion itself. Why? Because we learned from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, you, not your body, you are eternal. Ah, you always existed, you exist now, and you will continue to exist. Krishna says this also at the beginning of his instructions. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, Arjuna, nor all these millions of kings and warriors. We all existed in the past, and we will continue to exist individually in the future. So what is this death? Just like you actually die every night, you go to sleep. That's like death. Only the difference is you wake up in the same body. What is death? You go to sleep, wake up in a different body. What's that body going to be? Don't make the mistake. Oh, I'm living in Orange County and I have a good job and I have two cars. So my next life, I'm going to live in Beverly Hills. No, not necessarily. Because you can go up and you can go down. It all depends on your karma. So this sense of death, it instills fear in every one of us. Because, what is it? Because we're attached. We're attached to this body. My beautiful body. Yes, we're very attached. So to the extent that I'm attached, to that extent I fear death. And number five, please repeat, tamaha. Self-deception. Self-deception. In other words, we are not honest with ourselves. We don't really judge ourselves as critically as I judge others. With myself, what's wrong with me? But this guy, he's this. Me? There's nothing wrong with me. I am. Isn't that what Krishna says, the demon? How the demon thinks? I am perfect. I am powerful. That's how a demoniac person thinks. I am the greatest. Everybody else is a fool and a rascal. So self-deception. Self-deception rears its head every once in a while. We have a certain conception of who we are. And then something happens, like a divorce, or you lose your job, and then you realize, I'm not that, really? Like it happens all the time. It happened to me. You get that pink slip. What? No job? What? Wait a second. I'm the best guy here in the whole place. Obviously, the boss didn't think so. That happened to me several times in my life. Thank you very much. Your services no longer required. Here's a watch, if you're lucky. Here's a pencil with your name on it. Thanks a lot. Don't let the door hit you. I thought I was doing so great. The day comes. Self-deception. So these are the five nascent engagements. Let's see here. So this is only part one. We're going to have several installments. The purpose of these little sermons is to give you what is called transcendental knowledge. Where are you going to hear this on Fox Noise? No. You'll only hear this kind of information in this kind of program. Yes. So this is transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge means the superior form of knowledge, and by taking it in and thinking about it and then acting accordingly, you can upgrade your life, your real life. Upgrade. I do a lot of flying on airplanes. Every once in a while, the lady will come, Mr. D'Angelo, yes, we are going to give you a complimentary upgrade to first class. Then I think I'm king. Bigger chair. And when you sit in economy, they come around once or twice. But in first class, every 15 minutes, would you like something? Would you like something? They treat you like king. One time I was on a flight, long flight, and sitting next to me was somebody, Oriental person. And the whole flight, he was simply drinking alcohol. The whole flight, every time that, yes, give me another one, and another one. After a while, it's like, because it reeks. It comes out of the body. It's reeking. You can smoke. But I have to sit there patiently. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. What would you like? Water, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Nothing to drink? Water, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So we act on this knowledge, so it's like getting an upgrade in your life. Just the fact that you came here today is a spiritual upgrade. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.